My name is Ben Greenfield, and on this episode of the Ben Greenfield Life Podcast,
if you're looking for something that is a little bit friendlier to the pocketbook, because supplements are expensive,
sure.
The old school writer's friend of cup of coffee and cigarette.
Yep.
You replicate that with cup of coffee. What you do, and this is a relatively inexpensive supplement, is you get the supplement called L-theanine.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of this.
Powder, you can find anywhere, about 100 milligrams,
yeah.
Paired with a cup of coffee, causes the coffee to have a longer, slow bleed into the system, and L-theanine shifts you into alpha brainwave mode to enhance creativity.
Wow.
And it's just a cheap hack for a cup of coffee. And yes, even though you wouldn't necessarily want to smoke a cigarette back
sure.
to the temple,
yep.
you can use sources of nicotine that wouldn't really have many of the artificial sweeteners or anything in them at all.
Got
and I think
it.
The best one for that is they make nicotine toothpicks. So you can literally have a nicotine toothpick, like a cigarette sticking out of your mouth,
yep.
cup of coffee with a little L-theanine in it. And that's like a dirt cheap hack a lot of people don't know about. That'll
wow.
get you through hours upon hours of writing.
Faith, family, fitness, health, performance, nutrition, longevity, ancestral living, biohacking, and a whole lot more. Welcome to the show.
Let's talk detoxification. There's a lot of mixed messages in the media now about detox. Do you need a detox? Do you not need a detox? Do you need to do the fancy Ayurvedic, like 12-week diarrhea protocol? Do you need to spend, you know, $30 a day on a fresh pressed juice with 18 pounds of cilantro in it? The idea is you do need detoxification support. Sometimes some of these detox remedies, though, they kick your butt and they leave you like on the toilet all the time, or they're incredibly expensive or very inconvenient. So that's where this stuff called Push Catch Liver Detox comes in. It's made by my friend, Dr. Chris Shade, incredibly smart dude. He's been on my podcast before. He heads up this company called Quiksilver Scientific. So what Quiksilver Scientific did is they created this very simple two-step protocol designed to support detoxification and removal of toxins from your body in a very quick and efficient manner. So improperly designed detox programs neglect removal. So sometimes they'll bind the toxins, but then they wind up in nasty places like your brain. Quiksilver doesn't do that. They have toxin recirculation avoidance. So the toxins don't recirculate through your body by pushing toxins through the bile into your gut, then catching them with a binder for a safe and effective detox. Hence the name, Push, Catch, Liver Detox. So they have what's called liver sauce and ultra binder. It's 1-2-step in this Push, Catch, Liver Detox. So it boosts bile flow, hepatic detoxification pathways, intercepts mobilized toxins in the gut for a very seamless, highly effective detox experience that doesn't break the bank, that doesn't empty your wallet, and that doesn't leave you in the bathroom all day. So I highly recommend Quiksilver Scientific because they take and make supplements that actually work in your body. And they're giving all my listeners a big fat 15% discount. You visit quicksilverscientific.com and use code GREENFIELD15 for 15% off your purchase. That's quicksilverscientific.com/Ben and use code GREENFIELD15 for 15% off your entire purchase. Enjoy.
You may have been at like a gas station or a convenience store or a random grocery store or whatever, and you see these horribly branded sexual enhancement pills, you know, erection pills, whatever you want to call them. And those can be tempting, right? Throw them back and get an insty pleasurable experience. But we're talking about like 4-hour erections that won't go away and nasty side effects and heart issues and sweaty palms and a possible trip to the hospital to get rid of that thing. And, you know, these are pharmaceuticals or they're crappy herbal compounds that are somewhat effective, I guess, with a ton of nasty side effects. So there is one natural sexual performance booster that I will stand behind. It's called Joy Mode. Joy Mode. So what it's got is L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. What those first three components do, the L-citrulline, the arginine, and the yohimbine, is they cause nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation. They work for women too in your sex organs and increase sex drive. And the antioxidant vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from getting degraded and enhances the blood flow promoting effects of nitric oxide. So it's a very intelligently designed sexual performance enhancing supplement. It's a little powder, you tear open the sachet. By the way, it's amazing as a pre-workout too, if you happen to need a pre-workout in a pinch. You put in a little bit of water, just like an electrolyte, and you do this like 45 minutes up to 4 hours prior to sexual activity. You get better blood flow, you get better erection quality and firmness, better orgasms for both males and females, better sexual energy, better sex drive, and just overall an amazing experience without nasty prescription drugs or weird gas station pills. I'm going to give you a special offer for this Joy Mode stuff. You go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. Or you can just enter greenfield on their website at checkout for 20% off your first order. That's joymode.com/greenfield. Enjoy your Joy Mode.
Hiya.
No, seriously. Hiya. It's a kid's multivitamin. It's amazing. Most kids' multivitamins, they got 5 grams of sugar or more. They can contribute to health issues paradoxically. This Hiya stuff, they make it with no sugar, no gummy junk, but it tastes amazing. Kids love it. It's a pediatrician-approved, super-powered, chewable vitamin. Okay, again, typical children's vitamins, they got like 2 teaspoons of sugar in them. They're basically candy in disguise. But Hiya not only fills all the common gaps in modern kids' diets to provide the full-body nourishment that children need with a yummy taste that kids love, but they've got vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, a whole host, 15 essential vitamins and minerals to support immunity and energy and brain function, mood, concentration, your child's teeth, their bones, but it's also guilt-free, non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free, everything else you can imagine. They designed this for kids of all ages. They send it straight to your door so parents have one less thing to worry about. And my kids love it. Everybody that I've showed it to, all the parents whose children have tried it, swear by this stuff. It's a multivitamin that parents can give to their kids guilt-free, and it fills all the gaps in so you don't have to worry about your children's nutrient and micronutrient status. Now, here's the cool thing. You can get a bottle with your first order, and then they send you eco-friendly refills every month. And to do this, and to get 50% off that first order, you go to HiyaHealth.com/Ben. That's HiyaHealth.com/Ben. That will allow you to get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults and gives you amazing savings. So HiyaHealth.com/Ben.
Hey, the following is a conversation with my friend Lyle Phillips. Lyle's a pretty cool cat. He's actually the lead pastor of a legacy church in East Nashville. He has a very cool backstory. You should look into him. Got rescued from a lifestyle of drugs and street living to running an amazing church down in Nashville. I've gone there and just the singing and the worship service alone is like nothing else you've ever experienced. So anyways, he and I have become friends. He just started a podcast called Conversations, and we had a conversation on Conversations. We went into things that I don't think pastors talk much about, like smart drugs and nootropics and productivity and breath work and a whole lot of other cool things. So the show notes for this one, you can find at bengreenfieldlife.com/Lyle. That's bengreenfieldlife.com/LYLE. And this is interesting. In the weeks following this chat and chats with some other pastors, people who take care of congregations, people who are pretty smart and well-versed when it comes to, say, religion, but perhaps not as well-versed when it comes to health, I decided to arrange an event at my house. I am opening up my own home in October to a very, very small number of individuals, October 17th through the 20th. Specifically pastors. I'm going to take a maximum of 12 guys in, take you under my wings, feed you through the fire hose, teach you breath work, make you meals, and teach you how to make healthy meals, how to choose ingredients, the type of supplements that do and do not work, how to do body weight workouts, how to use workout technologies to enhance your fitness without breaking the bank, how to sleep better, how to breathe better. We're going to be doing cold tubs and ice baths and sauna and breath work and movement and hiking and amazing meals. And I'm not charging anything for this. This is my ministry. This is me giving back. The only thing I'm asking guys to do is, of course, pick up your plane ticket to Spokane, throw a few nickels into the hat for some of the food costs for the week. And that's not going to be very, very much. So anyways, all the information on this, you can find at Ben Greenfield Life.
bengreenfieldlife.com/warriors-for-God. That's bengreenfieldlife.com/warriors-for-God. And there's a little form that you can fill out there if you want to be considered for attendance. So that's it. And let's move on to the conversation with Lyle.
Welcome back to Conversations Podcast with Pastor Lyle. Today, I am joined by my new friend, Mr. Ben Greenfield. How you doing, bro?
I'm pretty good, especially considering this is like the first church I think I've ever been to that has a fancy toilet with the bidet.
Yes.
Literally, like in the sanctuary, whatever you want to call it over there.
Yep.
That's you guys have stepped it up a notch.
What'd you think about that?
I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on your podcast, but there's even like all the way down to organic tampons. Like, you guys have it really figured out.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's we're trying bathroom. To, you know, biohack the church, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably a phrase you never heard before. Biohacking the church.
No. I haven't heard that.
A lot of Christians are unhealthy.
Starting with the warm water bidet seems like a good way to go for me.
Let's go, man. Let's go. Well, for some of you guys, you may not know Ben. You've never been exposed perhaps to his work, to his books. I have an amazing book of his right here, which is massive. You could knock somebody out with this, bro.
You could.
Boundless.
Yeah. It was meant to be a workout tool.
The first book of yours I ever read was Beyond Training, and I had the Kindle version. Was it this big physically?
No. Okay. It was smaller than that. I kind of wanted people to buy two so they could do their bicep curls with the Boundless book. But no, that one is big. That one took me 3 years to write and just like pull together all the information. I'm actually working on an update to it now. But I was telling you before we started recording, I just wrote the equivalent of that for parenting, for family and parenting and education and legacy and discipline. And it's called Boundless Parenting. And it's that big. But in my opinion, more meaningful than a book that teaches you how to like live a long time and have six pack abs. Like, this book is about legacy and generational wealth and educating your children and defying the status quo and creating young human beings who are resilient and free thinking and creative. And as a dad and a husband who's grown to appreciate faith and family even more than fitness now.
Yes.
Like it's I'm like, pinch me now, I'm dreaming now. The book's actually like being shipped out and people are getting it and posting pictures of it. So
are you getting some good feedback of people doing what's in the book and seeing immediate fruit with their children?
Oh yeah. I've had multiple parents write in. Several of them have children who are now in prison. A few others have kids who are addicted to sugar. No, I'm just kidding. I've gotten very little feedback so far about the the book because as we're sitting here talking, like people are literally just now like posting on Instagram and stuff. But the pre-reads I've gotten from people have been like, yes, there is no book that exists like this. I basically crowdsourced 33 different sets of parents, from pastors to educators to epidemiologists, to all of these folks, to get the best of the best wisdom and knowledge from as many people as I could.
Come on.
And then put it all together in like this cookbook for parenting.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think the first parenting book of yours that I read was also a Kindle version, a digital version.
A teeny tiny book I wrote.
Yes.
When my sons were like six. And so of course I had the whole parenting game figured out.
At six.
I had it all figured out. Cause the picture on the front is one of my sons like swinging his kettlebell, his first kettlebell in the backyard. And it's all about like how your kids should be barefoot and why you should let them like lick the floor and get kissed by the dog and how to work out with your kids and how to arrange the house so they don't get exposed to like dirty electricity and lighting for their optimized circadian. Basically like how to biohack a superhuman kid.
Wow.
Which is kind of like,
I got to go back
like
and read
for
it
the
again.
For the first probably 8 years of my kid's life, I was pretty gung-ho. Like, these are going to be little, like, you know, 4 a.m. burpees and kettlebells, ice baths at 7, liver at 8 for breakfast type of kids. And I backed way off on
that.
I mean, we're pretty easy. I mean, we still do. For me, one of the best parts of my week, multiple times per week, that's like this father-son bonding experience that I think is wonderful for adults and for children, is we do breath work, heat, cold. Breath work, heat. So we have a sauna and we get in the sauna. I jack it up at like 5:30. We usually have our family dinner at like 7.
Okay.
And so about 5:30, I'll walk out of my office in the basement, turn up the temp of the sauna, and then I call my sons down at 6. And we all climb in the sauna and it's already at like 160 degrees and it's an infrared sauna.
Okay.
An infrared sauna makes light that heats up your tissues way more deeply and effectively than like a traditional dry sauna,
right?
Or
right.
steam sauna. I think infrared sauna, even though they consider it to be like a bastardization of sauna culture, if you'd ask somebody from Finland,
right,
where
right.
saunas are really big and where all the research has been done on dry saunas, there's a lot happening in terms of like the photons of light exciting your mitochondria and causing this deep release of toxins and metals that occurs when you're in infrared.
Okay.
So we get in the infrared and we dive into about 20 to 40 minutes of breath work. And it's a lot of kind of like Wim Hof style stuff. This is not like sit okay. and breathe and dwell on your positive affirmations.
Right,
this
right,
is
right,
very
right.
intense. I mean, to the point where right now we're training for a free diving trip. So we're doing a lot of wow. exhale holds, inhale holds. So we do 20 to 40 minutes. So my sons are learning how to turn up or turn down the dial on their nervous system, control their physiology, control their stress, focus through something hard where you're not moving in like a seated lotus position. And then once we finish and we're drenched in sweat and our heart rates are through the roof and our brains are just completely flooded with oxygen, we've blown off a bunch of CO2 and everybody's veins are dilated from all the nitric oxide going through their systems. These are my twin 14-year-old sons. Then we march out this time of year through the snow, barefoot, like 50 yards out to this little wooden shelter I have out in the forest back behind our house where we've got this giant cold. It's one of those old like fitness swimming pools with
yes.
like the endless current that you swim against.
Yes.
But I turned it into an icy
amazing.
Cold plunge. So we get in the plunge and we do the ice and then we go in, get ready to have dinner.
Okay.
And it is amazing for any human being to incorporate heat and cold and breath work. And so of all the things that are in that tiny superhumans book,
yes.
the one thing that really stuck was we do heat, cold, and breath work.
Incredible.
And it's you feel so good. It's almost
how
like addicting.
Should we be doing this with our children? My son is 8.
There's like Scandinavian and Russian populations and you know, even Native American lore of people literally from the time their kids are nearly newborn, throwing them in icy cold rivers and lakes and oceans and getting that mammalian dive reflex that occurs when you take that sharp breath in when you're first born, re-triggering that over and over again through a child's early years of life as we wait for the social workers to knock on the door of the church here.
Of course, yeah.
Drag
yeah,
us
yeah.
away.
Yeah.
For,
they're
for,
irate at this
yes,
point.
Yes, for all the hypothermic children. Basically, it's great for a kid's immune system. It's great for a kid's nervous system and stress tolerance. It helps to convert their white adipose tissue into this metabolically active brown fat that keeps them warm and keeps their metabolisms elevated. I think it's fine for your kids to get started with cold as early as possible. I mean, you know, with my kids, when we take a shower, I'd put the water on cold. When I go swimming, they'd be on my back, you know, in the pool.
Yes.
You know, they've just always grown up with this notion that cold is not something to be feared, that you can go outside during, you know, their homeschool, but, you know, go outside during the school day and be like, have your shirt off and be barefoot and be walking around the snow. And that's perfectly fine and actually good for you.
That's amazing.
And I think that humans who embrace cold and who even like live through winters versus all of you weaklings here in Tennessee who freak out when ice develops in the windshield.
The whole city right now, by the way, is closed down.
Whole city shut down.
No one's doing
anything. 45 degree rain. Anyways, though, so I think that winter and cold definitely has this resilience effect on the human body.
Mm.
That's probably why you see like the seals getting cold and hypothermic in the water. And it's why you see, you know, the Russians doing their cold baths.
Yes.
And there's definitely something to it.
That's amazing, man. I know for me, anytime I've done a cold, like a ice bath, and I used to do it a lot more often than I do today. The effects of it, I mean, it's just huge. If you've never done it before, you have to do it.
It's hard not to feel good when you get out of the ice bath or done with a cold shower. And yeah, it sucks during. And there are certain things you can do to alleviate some of the suckedness, like, you know, breath work beforehand, right?
Okay.
That's how Wim Hof got popular, was he would do fully in, letting go, fully in, letting go. And you do that for 3 to 4 rounds, you know, with each fully in, letting go being like 30 to 40 breaths. And with each, you're taking a deep inhale, hold, And then exhale, all the air out, and you hold the exhale, and each exhale gets longer and longer. And when you do that, you get this flood of nitric oxide and warmth and blood through your body that allows you to hold your breath longer, which you shouldn't be doing in cold water. You don't want to get shallow water blackout.
Right.
But it also causes your body to be able to handle the stress a little bit better. So a lot of people will do like breath work and then get into the cold. That can make it easier. There are things that can accelerate your ability to be able to burn fat when you're doing cold, like green tea.
Okay.
Is one example. Bearbrain, a common supplement you can get at a health food store. That'll do it. Caffeine can even accelerate it.
Sure.
So that's another one. Getting the head wet early on in the process. A lot of people keep their head dry.
Yeah.
But if you can get your head wet
get
right
all
away,
the way out of there.
It activates that mammalian dive reflex I was talking about.
Yep.
Triggering the main nerve that snakes through your body called the vagus nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And the vagus nerve is responsible for turning up or turning down your nervous system. So when you get your head wet, when you first get in, what that does is it allows your vagus nerve to help you to calm yourself down a little bit better.
Okay.
And then there's like what would be called like a dorsal stressed out, crouched over, rolled up in a fetal position, almost like drawing, let's say you're in the bath, drawing your knees up to your chest and putting your head down.
Right.
That triggers the body's stress response. That's like, that's like the turtle mode, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Versus lay back, put your head back luxuriously against the back of the tub or wherever else you're doing a cold soak and open up your body. Or if you're in the shower, open up your hands and your thumbs and turn your shoulders back. That pose sends a message to the body. It's almost more like a power pose.
Yeah.
That, oh, hey, I'm in control.
Yeah.
Things are just fine
here. I'm fine. This is good for me.
Yeah.
I love this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then finally, there's like the people on TikTok or Instagram or whatever posting videos of them doing 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 15 minutes, you know, and these long ice soaks. That's that intimidates a lot of people.
So do you need to do that?
No, you get benefits after like 10 seconds in terms of like the dopamine response and the adrenaline and epinephrine response. For me, most of the time, it's 2 to a maximum of 5 minutes that I'll stay in the cold. You know, I'm skinny and I don't like being that cold anyways.
Right.
But you don't have to like do these super long, epic, you know, cold baths where, you know, you have your whole playlist pulled up and, you know, your family knows you're going to be in there an hour hogging the bathroom in the ice. No, these can be like very brief, like quick cold shower after workout or do a breath work session for 20 minutes in the sauna and then go jump in the cold for a couple of minutes and then get out. Like these brief bouts of cold are just fine.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. So if somebody doesn't have an ice plunge, for instance, because I would love to have one. And every time I get on Instagram or I go to websites to look, even these plastic barrels they're trying to sell for like $799.
Yeah. Overpriced Calitrofs.
Yeah. What is happening with that?
So
do you just use your regular cold water in your shower? Because that doesn't seem cold enough for me.
What research has shown is that 55 degrees or colder gives you an effect.
Okay.
It depends where you live, how cold the water will get, but they actually make, I forget the brand, but you can look it up. It's like probably the Google term would be like cold thermogenesis shower or something like that. They make shower heads that will cool the water as it comes out of the shower.
Okay.
It's like a little chiller system on the shower head.
Yes.
And I think that's like 70, 80 bucks. That would allow you to take a super cold shower.
Okay.
The other hack is you can just go to the feed store and get a cattle trough for a fraction of the cost of these big tubs.
That's what I have.
Yeah. And you just fill that with water and drop by the gas station, grab some ice every now and again and keep it cold.
You can get one for $100, by the way.
Yeah.
Tractor Supply.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't have to be that cold. I mean, if you put ice in and it's like the fall or the winter, it's going to stay below 55 easily.
Yeah.
And then there's these nice biohacked systems like the Marazco and the cold plunge and the cold tub. And a lot of these have actual chiller systems and ozone cleaning systems and all these fancy bells and whistles. And yeah, in the middle of the summer, when it's 100 degrees out, knowing there's something out in your backyard that's going to stay at like 33 degrees no matter what is nice, but it is expensive. The other thing you want to remember is if you have like one of those cattle troughs that you fill up with water and ice, it can get dirty. And the trick for that, if you don't want to constantly change out the water, is every time you do it, just put a couple of tablespoons of hydrogen peroxide in.
Okay.
And it's easier on your body than chlorine, easily cleans the water. If you have some funky friend who's getting in there too, or, you know, you're just concerned from a hygienic standpoint, that hydrogen peroxide is a good
thing. That'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the reason why I got into ice baths, to be honest, was probably from watching you, watching Joe Rogan, watching other people who talk about it all the time for the mental benefits of it.
Yeah.
So as a pastor, for me, I'm constantly trying to figure out how to biohack my creativity.
Right.
I think that's how I found you, because back in, let's see, when my wife and I first got married, 2013, 2014, I started watching CrossFit videos on YouTube because I was trying to figure out, how do I increase my creativity quotient? I'm always writing. I'm always preparing for sermons.
By doing kipping pull-ups and cleaning jerks.
It didn't work as well as I expected, Ben.
Yeah.
But I think that's how I found you. So yeah. I'm wondering, aside from ice baths, is it really possible to hijack our creativity?
Yes.
Okay. How do you do that? Is there sort of some simple ways, small to big? Is there a spectrum?
Yeah. The so-called limitless drug for pastors.
We need this.
Yes. The Bradley Cooper of Christ's kingdom.
Yeah.
Okay. So
hashtag goals.
Yeah. I mean, you could put this into a few different categories when it comes to creativity.
Okay.
You can shift the brain into certain brainwave states, particularly like an alpha brainwave state, that would enhance creativity using external variables.
Okay.
Namely temperature regulation. Another one would be light and sound. Those would probably be the top three.
Okay.
Temperature regulation, we already discussed. Like that, like if you are listening and can implement that cold shower, cold bath, regularly scheduled cold thermogenesis into your routine, you're automatically going to be able to shift your nervous system more into that alpha brainwave zone.
Before or after I go to write?
You would do it before, ideally. This would be like at the beginning of the day. If you can do like sauna cold breath work at the beginning of the day, you're hitting three different variables that are going to not only decrease stress, but enhance creativity. And also,
I'm going to create a sermon prep protocol now with
increased longevity. Yeah. So sauna, cold breath work in the morning. Okay. Doesn't be a long session, but it could. And if you don't have a sauna, it's okay to sit on your living room floor, do a 20-minute breath work session, and then get in the cold. My one complaint, just slight rabbit hole here with a lot of these breath work apps, is they're very new agey, woo-woo, secular, whatever. You know, it's either empty-headed meditation, and in scripture we're called to meditate upon God's word, and not just to empty our heads and allow, you know, whatever other entity might be in the room to take us over, which can happen sometimes with meditation. There's actually a great new book that just came out about this called The Enlightenment Trap.
A lot of
people are dying and getting possessed during meditation. A big part of that is they're not meditating on scripture or on God's word. No, it's written by Scott Carney.
So it's written by a non-Christian.
Yeah, it's just disgusting. About the dark side of new age and enlightenment and meditation. It's a good book.
Wow. Not to get distracted.
Came out. I don't even know if I might have gotten an advanced copy, but it's very, very interesting. It's about people who are kind of getting messed up from. And of course, we know that can happen with things like ayahuasca and psilocybin and this whole plant medicine surge. But it can even occur, you know, with meditation as well. Mm. Now, back to the issue with a lot of these breathwork apps that are all just like positive self-affirmation, empty your head, you know, embrace the source or whatever.
Right.
There's really not a whole lot that goes on during the breathwork session that's uplifting from a spiritual sense. And my logic is, if you're going to be sitting there for 20 minutes, you know, in addition to your breath, you might as well be focusing on something else. And my trick for this initially, once I taught myself several different breathwork tactics, like slow count in for four, hold for two, out for eight, or in for four, hold for four, out for four, hold for four. Box breathing, or like the Wim Hof style tactics, was just to play soaking worship or some non-lyrical uplifting, you know, almost like Christian music without lyrics, kind of
Legacy, you know, Nashville's Inhabitation album.
Yeah, anybody's listening to soaking music, what's it called?
We did a soaking album.
Oh,
each track is 1 hour long. So if you want to pray for an hour, then you can play one track. It's got four tracks, 4 hours for the album.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. And just so you know, like, I'll go back to my hotel room after this. I'm working on a cookbook right now.
Yeah.
And I've got a dinner tonight at 6:30. I'll probably get back to my hotel room at 1:30. So I can embrace like the brain fog in the afternoon and in my hotel room, the bed's 5 feet away. Do I crawl in there and take a little nap?
Yep.
I will get back to my hotel room. I'll sit on the floor of my hotel room. I'll do 20 minutes of breath work. I'll take a cold shower and then I'll jump into the cookbook.
So, and you're ready to go.
So this is what I'll be doing this afternoon.
Yeah.
Right. But you can either do music that's more uplifting or let's say you don't know what to do for breath work. You don't know when to breathe in, when to breathe out, you know, mm-hmm. when to do the holds, et cetera. My logic starting a couple months ago was, why isn't there a Christian breath work app? There's some of like the Orthodox breath is prayer, like the Jesus prayer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Breathe in. Yeah. What do they say? Smell the flowers, blow out the candles. Right. So that's how you would do like breath is prayer. You smell the flowers, blow out the candle. So it's in through the nose, out through slightly pursed lips. And there's a variety of different breath prayers. There's even a whole book called Breath is Prayer, which I think is fantastic. That's got about 25 different sections of scripture that can be used for breath is prayer. But the earliest one practiced by like the early desert fathers and mothers was breathe in, oh Jesus, Son of God, breathe out, have mercy on my soul.
Wow.
Right. And that's a very, very simple breathwork routine where it's literally just for 10 minutes, breathe in, oh Jesus, Son of God, breathe out, have mercy on my soul.
Wow.
But what I thought was, well, gosh, there's so much more that you could do with breath work just because it does shift you into almost like this receptive spiritual state. Mm. Yeah, you don't have to use breath work and biohacks to get close to God.
Sure.
But it is kind of cool that you can tweak your brainwaves in a way that opens you up spiritually, especially for conversations with God or to listen to his voice in the silence. You know, I can hear God's voice in the still small silence. Yes. Mm-hmm. I can hear God's voice in the still small silence 90 seconds into an exhale hold during breath work, even better, which sounds kind of gimmicky, but it just is. You know, God gave us breath, and there are certain ways that we can use our breath to enhance our ability to be spiritual breath.
Absolutely.
So
I do it before I get on stage on Sunday.
Yeah.
So like I'm standing backstage, I'm preparing to go up to preach. And I'm trying, and tell me if I'm doing something wrong. I'm doing like the...
Oh, no, that's perfect. That's that Wim Hof style breath work that not only gives you confidence and swagger. Seeing you preach, you're swaggering, pastor.
Sir.
But also the rush of oxygen to the brain that can help with your focus and the blowing off of the CO2, which can help you to manage anxiety. So yes, there's something to that. If you were super wired up, you'd want to do inhales and long exhales.
If you're
like nervous and, but normally, breathing yourself up, especially if you're confident, familiar with your congregation, you want to be a little bit more excited than, you know, so nervous about all these people you're going to go out and preach to. And I don't know if preachers use the same tactic as a lot of public speakers, imagining everyone in the congregation naked.
I've never met one. I'm guessing
that's not something that's done. Although that was a tip I was given once. One of the two craziest tips I've been given for public speaking, and then I'll get back to the breath work, was imagine everybody out there is naked so that you think that they're just as nervous as you might be. And then I met this other guy who puts food in his undershorts before he goes out on stage.
No way.
And he's a very well-known, great speaker who I heard give a talk about how to give an effective speech. And he'll just be like, yeah, you know, I'll drop a few raisins down there or a little bit of leftovers from lunch. And he said, it's hard to feel uptight and nervous when you know you have food in your underwear.
No
way. And I'm totally not joking. I never tried it, but this guy swears by it.
Could you imagine?
A little bit of food in your underwear. So
just dump a casserole.
Granola bar, casserole.
Wow.
Yeah, little green beans.
Dude, so, I've never heard of that.
Neither had I until I heard that. So anyways, what I decided to do a couple months ago was start to record breathwork apps or breathwork sessions.
Wow.
That would be, for example, the fruits of the Holy Spirit from Galatians. And that's the opening verse. And then
amazing.
3 minutes of box breathing where you're dwelling upon that verse that's repeated a couple of times. And I've already have these in a bunch of audio sessions I'm going to release in an app soon.
Amazing.
And then move into your intense breathwork for like 2 minutes.
Mm.
And on the inhale, you imagine breathing up all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. On the exhale, you exhale, hold. And it's all choreographed to music and everything.
Amazing.
And just listen and pray.
Come on.
And then you do another round. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Full inhale, breathe in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Full exhale, pray.
Incredible.
And so you do like 3 rounds of that and then finish with another 3 minutes of box breathing and then a final Lord's Prayer. And my idea, I mean, obviously the Bible's a big book, right?
Yes,
I already have like 30 different breathwork sessions mapped out on a Google Doc on my computer that I just need more time in the day to be able to record. But that's my goal, is for Christians to be able to not have to own some kind of like a new agey woo-woo app to be able to do breath work. And furthermore, to come closer to their creator and be able to enter into prayer in a deeper state.
Yes.
Through breath work.
This is incredible, bro. You're revolutionary for this.
I think it'll
be
really
cool. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah. I've seen a need for it for a long time. And I think, and some of the sessions will just be super short. Some of the sessions will be like box breathing, 10 minutes of, well, like, oh, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on my soul. Pray, done. Right. And then others will be a lot more epic and uplifting. And the first one I did is like 35 minutes long.
I can't wait to try this out.
Yeah. And so back to your question about creativity.
Yeah.
Heat, cold, and breath work.
Okay.
Now that I've kicked those horses to death, I think about as much as I can, would be where to start. But then you've also, like I mentioned, got light and sound.
Okay.
Light and sound. So the body can respond to photons of light. I mentioned when I was talking about the sauna, how light is able to do things like excite the mitochondria, the powerhouses of your cell. It's able to, when you see natural sunlight first thing in the morning, to be able to stimulate that cortisol awakening response that helps you to feel awake and alert. An illustrative example of that would be when I travel to help me sleep, I use high doses of melatonin.
Okay.
And I'll say, if I could show you my sleep scores, you know, here in Nashville, I'm sleeping 8.5 hours a night, perfect sleep scores. And a lot of that's due to the melatonin that I take before I go to bed at night. Large amount.
How much
it works.
When you say large amount, what do you mean? You talking about over 5 milligrams?
I use a 300 milligram melatonin suppository.
300 milligrams, Ben?
I get it from my friend in Sarasota, Florida. He's a doctor, Dr. John Lawrence.
Wow.
He has a company called Mitozen. And normally, that amount of melatonin would not be absorbed well orally and would result in a large peak followed by a drop that wakes you up. This, by using the rectal delivery mechanisms, gives you a slow release of melatonin all night long. You wake up and the problem is you're groggy because the melatonin is still in your system.
Sure.
So I walk over to my hotel room window. I pull open the curtains. Mm-hmm. The sunlight comes in, hits my eyes. Then 5 minutes, I'm fine. As a matter of fact, if you take melatonin in the middle of the day, it won't make you sleepy if you're out in the light because the light shuts down that melatonin response.
No kidding.
So anyways, the reason I'm telling you this is that some form of light can be very stimulating for creativity and productivity.
Mm.
The two best kinds are red light delivered either intranasally or intracranially.
Okay.
And the same type of bright blue greenish spectrum from sunlight.
Okay.
Now you could get all of that by just going out in the sunlight every morning before you start into your creative work.
Got it.
You could also, as an alternative to, if you got to be indoors or in addition to that, get two different kind of like biohacking type of devices.
Okay.
One is called a V-light. It's an infrared, almost like a helmet that you put on that blasts your entire skull with infrared light. I do this 20 minutes in the morning and it's like a cup of coffee for my brain. And there's a little probe attached to it that goes up your nose. They originally developed this for Alzheimer's and dementia.
Okay.
But it works fantastically for overall brain health.
And so you've got a helmet on.
It's kind of like a helmet. It's not a full on helmet, but it's a bunch of lights that just get.
Are you doing the breath work at the same time?
No, this is just first 20 minutes of writing for the day. That's what's on my head.
All right, got it.
And it's just like, and if you close your eyes, you can kind of sort of feel like this little buzzing hurt sensation.
Okay.
But you barely notice that it's on besides the fact that all of a sudden just everything starts to go clear.
Wow.
So that's the first way that you could use light in addition to just natural sunlight. The second way is that the brain shifts into this gamma brainwave signal, hyper-creative, hyper-focused mode at about a 40 hertz signal.
Okay.
And there's another company that makes a light very similar to the light boxes that they sell for seasonal affective disorder, such as you would put on your desk during the gray and dreary times.
I'm aware of those. Some of my friends, they suffer with seasonal depression.
Yeah.
So they'll put it
up. And that works fantastically.
So you could do that while you're writing a sermon, for instance.
Yeah, but there's one company called, I think it's EVY.
Okay.
I have one of these. I've had it for a couple of years now. It works really well. You press one button on it, and it's like those seasonal affective disorder boxes, but it specifically creates the hertz signal designed for creativity and focus.
Okay.
And so that is on my office desk. And usually what I do, my first 20 minutes of writing for the day, I pull on the infrared light, I push that button. So basically I'm getting this 40 hertz signal of bright light from my desk and then the infrared light over my head.
Wow.
A lot of people don't realize how effective light is at shifting your brainwave state.
Mm.
The other one would be sound, like I mentioned. So we've got breath work, heat, cold, light, and then sound. You've probably heard of these apps mm-hmm. that will produce like binaural beats to help you with sleep, you know, based on the hypothesis that if you blast the left ear with 405 hertz and the right ear with 395 hertz, the delta on those is 10 hertz. So you chipped yourself into like a 10 hertz alpha brainwave zone.
Interesting. I've done this on YouTube. So I'll put the headphones on during the sermon prep.
Yep. And most of these are designed to be done with headphones.
Okay.
That's a mistake a lot of people don't make is unless you have like, I guess, surround sound speakers where you have a perfectly placed speaker on the left side of the desk and one on the right side of the desk.
Got it.
Headphones are best. And so some of these tracks or binaural beats are designed specifically to enhance creativity and focus and put you in kind of like that 10 hertz all the way up to 40 hertz brainwave zone that would allow you to have enhanced creativity.
Okay.
I think the best one out there, I don't think it's even that expensive, is called Brain FM.
Brain FM.
Brain FM is designed and it's got like creativity, it's got focus, it's got like meditation, it's got sleep, like four different settings on it. That one works really well for anybody who likes to listen to external sounds to enhance creativity or focus. And it, if you have headphones in particularly, that works really well.
Earlier this year, I made a pretty big statement that I think that when it comes to NAD, nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide, this molecule with great cellular protective and anti-aging properties, when it comes to the bioavailability of it, I think that nothing beats, from what I've seen, NAD3, a version of NAD that's very bioavailable, difficult to find, but there is a new product that has added other proven longevity compounds, namely spermidine, niacinamide, and resveratrol to the NAD3, making it the most complete and efficacious NAD supplement that I think exists anywhere. And it's called BioStack NAD Regen, made by BioStack Labs. NAD Regen, like regeneration. Now, this is pretty impressive stuff. I'm popping three every morning right now. I'm also taking their Cell Shield. So those two in combination give an enormous age reversal longevity anti-aging punch. When you get a 3-month supply of this stuff, they're going to send you a fourth bottle totally free. So you're getting a bottle completely free. You go to biostacklabs.com/Ben. Biostack, B-I-O-S-T-A-C-K, labs.com/Ben, if you want to try this stuff out. So again, it's called NAD Regen. Lucy. You probably saw that smart drug movie called Lucy. It was like that other one called Limitless. Well, there actually is kind of sort of the equivalent of a smart drug, and it's called Lucy. It's an oral nicotine company, a modern oral nicotine company that makes nicotine gum and lozenges and pouches for folks who want the best, most responsible way to consume their nicotine. It's an adult product. You pop one, you get focus, you get clarity, you get better word recall, and they taste amazing, and they aren't chock full of frankenfuels like a lot of these gums out there are. So the lozenges, I think like the cherry ice one's amazing. I really like the pomegranate gum. Those are probably my two top flavors. I use them in moderation, as you should too, because this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. But if you want to experiment with how you feel on nicotine, one of the old school nootropic brain-enhancing compounds that's out there, and you want to do so without doing things like, I don't know, smoking, you should check out Lucy's products. So you go to lucy.co, Lucy, L-U-C-Y.co, and you can use promo code BEN20, BEN20. Use promo code BEN20 at checkout at lucy.co, and you're going to get a big discount. So check them out. Nicotine gum, nicotine lozenges, nicotine pouches, but clean ones. So lucy.co and use code BEN20. All right, folks, it's coming up. It's right around the corner. It's the Health Optimization Summit. Me and my entire family are headed to London for this thing, and it is crazy amazing. It's this massive expo full of the best biohacks. You get to be ahead of the curve and see this stuff before it even hits the streets. You get entrance and access to all stages and breakout talks by an amazing variety of speakers. They've got 35 world-class forward-thinking speakers from the biohacking, nutrition, longevity, fitness, functional, and preventive medicine fields. They've got next-level exhibitors and workshops, amazing VIP experiences with parties, with gadgets, with refreshments, with priority seating, with upgraded goodie bags, and the list of speakers at this event is crazy. So it's happening June 17th and 18th this year. So it's coming up quick. Jim Quick, Vishen Lakhani, Mimi Icon, my friend and dentist and former podcast guest, Dr. Dominique, Dr. Jolene Brighton, Dr. Mark Atkinson, Chris Gethin, Dr. Christopher Shade. The list goes on and on. Some of the best speakers, the coolest crowd, and the exhibition floor is absolutely mind-blowingly amazing. Plus, London is fun. Great restaurants, cool people, and it's a party. So if you want to go to this year's Health Optimization Summit, here's how to get in with a discount. It's going to give you 10% off of all the regular and the VIP tickets. So again, it's June 17th and 18th. It's at the Business Design Center in London. And here's your code, bengreenfieldlife.com/HOS23. That's bengreenfieldlife.com/HOS23. Use the code Ben Greenfield for 10% off both regular and VIP tickets. That's Ben Greenfield for 10% off regular and VIP tickets. Enjoy.
I'm really fascinated by this, and I'll tell you why. So, like, long before we met, and I was mentioning this to you earlier before we started going live, like aniracetam, like which most people wouldn't have a clue what that is, but when nootropics kind of came on the scene and became more popular, at least from my perspective, stuff like that,
pretty effective nootropic. Right?
Yeah, should I get it? But here's the thing, Ben, and tell me what you think. It's like, there was a certain level, I don't know if I should say conviction, or because it was like personal conviction, or it was Holy Spirit conviction. I was like, I don't know. Is this right? Is this using drugs? So I just never tried it.
Right.
Like, what do you think about that in that sense?
Big can of worms that you just opened up. So first of all, there's a few different directions that I could go with this. I want to make sure that I do have a chance to tell you, from a dietary and a supplement standpoint, what would actually be effective and safe to enhance creativity, or you've, whatever, flown to Tokyo and you got to give a sermon and you got there at 2 a.m. and the sermon's at 8, and what do I do? So let's address the ethical piece first.
Okay.
Is there any evidence in scripture that shifting one's state of focus or creativity is a sin, or is abusing the temple, or is pulling others into sin, causing your brother or your sister to stumble? I can't say that I'm aware of anything in scripture that forbids that, especially provided that there's no long-term physiological damage that occurs.
Sure, because you're not drunk.
The type of drug use, actually, well, the Bible specifically separates sobriety from drug use for a specific reason. For most of human history, all the way up to present times, if you actually do the digging, drugs were used for the purpose of divining with the spirit world, right? And this is the definition of pharmakia, right?
Yes.
Using drugs to divine with the spirit world.
Yes.
So when I step back, and a lot of people hear pharmakia and they're like, oh, pharmaceutical companies, conspiracy theory, you know, Pfizer has whatever, goat horns and devils in the basement. But that's not the case. They're a drug company trying to help people and making some dumb profit-driven mistakes along the way. Mm-hmm. But I don't consider that to be like the forbidden pharmakia that's in the Bible. So the reason that divination through the use of drugs, this so-called pharmakia in the Bible, is forbidden is because it is incredibly effective. If you've actually used ayahuasca or psilocybin or anything like this in a set and setting that's not a rave or a club or, you know, some party scene, but with the intention to actually do things like ask big G God or little G God for answers, or perhaps see what kind of entities happen to be in the room with you at the time, or be able to dialogue with someone from a distance who also happens to be on that same drug.
Wow.
Or if you're in the Amazon, I just interviewed a shaman in the Amazon about this. Go to battle with another shaman under the influence of something like ayahuasca.
That is crazy.
It's totally crazy.
That's crazy.
But we don't live in a logical, rational, materialistic, scientifically proven world. We live in a world created by a spirit, by a god, by a deity, and there is magic, and there are miracles, and there is an entire Frank Peretti novel-esque spiritual world that exists all around us. Present darkness,
That's
pierced in the darkness. You know, two examples, or any of the modern work on, you know, the Nephilim, or you know, unseen realms.
Are you into that? Michael Heiser's books?
I wouldn't say I'm like into it, but I do find the whole idea fascinating. I was actually having a discussion at the music studio last night about, you realize like this stuff was given to us by the gods, like knowledge of music, knowledge of metallurgy, knowledge of instrumentation design, knowledge of makeup application. Like if you read in the Bible, like this stuff was handed to us by the spirit world. We didn't come up with this on our own. Right. So it is fascinating. But
we're going deep now, bro.
Yeah, we're getting away from creativity a little bit. But back to aniracetam.
Yeah.
So the Bible separates drug use and pharmakia from the use of alcohol, because while a red-nosed, you know, alcoholic who is violating the laws of sobriety and temperance that were prudently laid down in particularly the Old Testament to allow for better societal stability in the same way that monogamy allows for better societal stability. Mm. Well, I think that is sound advice, but I don't see that the town drunk is having an issue with like demon possession or speaking to gods and other entities. Mm. And I actually think that pharmakia, especially the modern infatuation with it and the fact that it's been placed upon a pedestal as like the path to spiritual enlightenment is a very, very dangerous world indeed. However, I would separate both of those, whether we're talking about alcoholism and lack of sobriety and whether we're talking about pharmakia, from the use of compounds or substances that enhances one's physiology or ability to focus. Mm. Because I realize that this is a little bit of a slippery slope fallacy, but there are foods that can shift your brainwave state to enhance creativity, drugs aside.
Yeah.
This is kind of interesting because there's this whole idea in nutrition science of the doctrine of signatures. Certain things that look like other things in nature can be good for certain goals. Like, for example, in this case, a walnut looks like a tiny brain.
Like a brain, yeah.
Well, a walnut is chock full of choline that actually can assist with brain performance.
Interesting.
Eggs, you crack them open in a pan, they look like eyes. Turns out some of the components and nutrients in eggs are good for eyesight. Mm. A sweet potato is kind of sort of shaped like a pancreas. And it turns out that a sweet potato is actually pretty good for blood glucose management and insulin production. Mm. You know, the list could go on and on, all the way down to this fascinating plant called strophanthin, which actually looks like a heart with a bunch of little tendrils and veins coming out of it. And it's called the insulin of the heart and is used by a bunch of functional medicine docs as something that allows someone to recover from a heart attack by regrowing the vessels in the heart.
Should we take that preventatively?
I'm not knowledgeable enough on it to know if it would work preventively. I know people who have had cardiovascular attacks, it's something I interviewed a Dr. Thomas Cowan, author of a book called Human Heart, Cosmic Heart, if you want to dig into that.
Sure.
So anyways, God gave us all sorts of things on this planet that can be used to enhance our ability to be able to focus and engage in creativity, including, you know, in ancient times using mortar and pestle and oil extracts and alcohol extracts, et cetera, the ability to be able to concentrate the components of these plants, or even synthetically create molecules that are like them to enhance creativity or focus.
Okay.
So, you know, coffee would be an example. Green tea would be an example. Nicotine from the tobacco plant would be an example. Like all of these things, when used moderately and responsibly, and not in a way that would harm your temple.
Right.
I'm totally fine with.
Like chewing a piece of nicotine gum, I've heard. Right. I haven't tried it. Can help you with creativity.
It can help you with creativity. It can help you with focus. And then if you want to get into the nitty gritty of all of that, you could also say, well, for me to be fully present for my family and my congregation, I need to make sure that my gut and my poops and bloating and constipation, all that is in order as well.
Yes.
And so then you just have to make a wise and prudent decision, because most nicotine delivery products are chock full of artificial sweeteners and fermentable compounds and things that would affect the gut. So you
got it.
So, you know, you got to dig in and equalize. There are some companies like Lucy, for example, that make nicotine gum that has less of the artificial sweeteners in it. You can even import from the Amazon like the snortable nicotine compound Hoppe. You can just spray it up your nose and get a similar effect. There are workarounds with a lot of this stuff, but to cut straight to the chase, The problem is that you have to know what you're doing because you can drain the brain. Aniracetam, you brought up, for example, speeds up the brain like a gas pedal and allows you to just go, go, go for a few hours. Problem is, it also depletes that nutrient that I mentioned is found in walnuts, choline. And so you're driving the car a million miles an hour, you run out of gas in the tank, you crash, and you feel crappy. So you would have to pair aniracetam with choline, right?
Okay.
To be able to actually operate. And so because of that, rather than cowboying your way around random pharmaceutical websites and ordering something because you heard it could enhance creativity, I'm a bigger fan of done for you formulations that are very, very similar to just like over the counter supplements or things you can buy on Amazon that go beyond just like the fringe, like underground biohacking industry stuff that you buy in the dark corners of the internet.
Yeah.
So I think some of the better formulated mixes or blends out there, even though I'm sure that several of these companies have advertised on my podcast in the past, et cetera, I've got no financial affiliation with by mentioning any of these. One would be Onnit makes one called Alpha Brain.
Yes, I've heard of this.
That one is well formulated. One that I particularly like that I use a lot is called Qualia. Qualia is made by a company called Neurohacker Collective.
Okay.
And they make a product called Mind.
Okay.
I like the caffeine-free Mind, mostly because I also like to have a cup of coffee in the morning and I don't like to over-caffeinate myself.
Yeah.
So that would be another good done-for-you blend. And then if I could name one more, there's a company, and this one I'm probably most impressed with, a company called Nootopia, N-O-O-T-O-P-A.
Okay.
You go to their website, you fill out a questionnaire. Am I easily distracted? Do I struggle with sleep? Do I sleep too much? Do I feel demotivated? Do I feel excessively motivated? It's basically a questionnaire that allows them to determine what your specific neurotransmitter imbalances would be. They then custom design a box. It's not inexpensive. I think it's about $400 or so for a month's supply. Frankly, most of the people I know, including myself, who will get something like that will take closer to 2 to 3 months to go through it because it's not like I'm popping smart drugs every day. But on those more cognitively demanding days.
Yes.
And so Nootopia, Qualia Mind, or Alpha Brain would be three examples of supplements that would allow you to get the creativity without risking the idea that you might be depleting something or robbing Peter to pay Paul. And then if you're looking for something that is a little bit friendlier to the pocketbook, because supplements are expensive, the old school writer's friend of cup of coffee and cigarette, you replicate that with cup of coffee. What you do, and this is a relatively inexpensive supplement, is you get the supplement called L-theanine.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of this.
Powder, you can find anywhere about 100 milligrams, paired with a cup of coffee, causes the coffee to have a longer, slow bleed into the system, and L-theanine shifts you into alpha brainwave mode to enhance creativity.
Wow.
And it's just a cheap hack for a cup of coffee. And yes, even though you wouldn't necessarily want to smoke a cigarette back to the temple, you can use sources of nicotine that wouldn't really have many of the artificial sweeteners or anything in them at all.
Got
and I think
it.
The best one for that is they make nicotine toothpicks. So you can literally have a nicotine toothpick, like a cigarette sticking out of your mouth, a cup of coffee with a little L-theanine in it. And that's like a dirt cheap hack a lot of people don't know about. That'll get you through hours upon hours of writing. Maybe not as fun and sexy and colorful as some of these pills and stuff.
Right.
And then the last thing that I would throw in there, last two things I would throw in there. First of all, from a dietary standpoint, the more you can consume slow-burning logs versus fast-burning kindling as your fuel, the better. Carbohydrates, starches, processed foods, soft foods, drinkable foods, etc. Those would all be fast-burning kindling with a steep rise in energy followed by a sharp drop that would best be paired before, during, or after a workout if you're going to use that stuff at any time during the day.
Okay.
A state of ketosis accomplished with strategies such as fasting, carbohydrate restriction, higher intake of healthy Mediterranean-style fats, putting a little bit of coconut oil or MCT oil in your coffee, or even these newer drinkable ketones that shift you into that state very readily.
Interesting.
Can give you a good, long, slow bleed of energy that keeps you going all day long. So
that's
looking
amazing.
Into ketosis, particularly not the style of what would be called dirty ketosis, where people are doing like sticks of butter and, you know, coconut oil energy bars and pooping out giant logs of grease.
Oh.
But basically more ketosis, like Mediterranean, like high healthy fats, fish oil, fatty cut of salmon, maybe a little bit of
Blue Zones diet.
Yeah, almost like a low carb Blue Zone style diet.
Okay, got it.
That's a healthier approach to ketosis. And if you want to, you can dress it up. Yeah, like MCT
the
oil.
MCT.
Yeah, that'll get converted. Yeah, that's great stuff. I forgot about that. Yeah, you can put that in a little bit of coffee. So ketosis, and particularly a vegetable plant rich form of ketosis is a good hack for the dietary component of focus and creativity. And then finally, every once in a while, you need the big guns. Mm. You need the, I am in book writing phase and I'm on deadline 3 weeks. I'm going to be sleeping 4 hours a night and taking care of the kids and making sure I take my wife on a Friday night date and preaching and delivering a sermon. This is a phase where I need the big guns. Or like I mentioned earlier, I'm flying to Tokyo. I get in at 2 a.m. I got to deliver a sermon or a speech at 8 a.m. And freaking L-theanine in my coffee is not going to do the trick. I guarantee you. There's one, and I would consider this to be a smart drug that you'd only want to use in moderation to ensure that you don't build up tolerance to it.
Okay.
Is called modafinil.
Okay.
Modafinil was the inspiration for the movie Limitless.
Yeah. Developed for people with narcolepsy and Olympians started using
it. Off-label anti-narcoleptic drug also goes by the name Provigil.
Okay. I've never tried this.
Yeah. And so usually a pill of that comes as about 200 milligrams.
Okay.
One pill would give you hyperproductivity for about 24 hours.
Got it.
Half a pill, about 12 hours.
Okay.
What you need to realize, though, is that the mechanism of action is that it floods the cell receptors with dopamine and serotonin. So everything feels rewarding, particularly work checklists and tasks.
Okay.
And you'll just go. And some people find that it makes them irritable and impersonable. Meaning, with your family, you might be like, get out of the way. Dad's got to work.
Yeah.
And so that can be an issue. The other issue is that anything that floods the cell receptors long-term with dopamine, you've probably seen these new books like Dopamine Nation or people shutting down the dopamines on their phones by switching them to grayscale. The reason for that is that anytime the cells get flooded with dopamine, it builds up more receptors for dopamine on the cell surface.
Mm.
And you need more and more dopamine to feel good. So if you were to start to take modafinil and be like, I feel great, I'm going to take this every day. And then you run out or you decide not to take it for a week. You feel kind of flat because nothing feels good.
Yeah,
sex doesn't feel as good. A ribeye steak isn't as good. Taking your kids to the beach doesn't feel as good because you don't have all that dopamine in your system. That would, even though I'm mentioning that as a good strategy, this would be like big guns. I'm using this for this one day or this one, 1 week hard stint of
12 hour stretch or 3 day stretch. Yeah. It's like, that's max. That's it. It's over.
Yeah. So in summary, you have your natural mechanisms for creativity, light, sound, cold, breath work. You have your nutrients, things like choline, fatty acids, ketones, low carbohydrate diet. You have your done for you formulations like Qualia Mind or Onnit Alpha Brain or the Nootopia company with the cheat pack being the theanine, caffeine, nicotine. And then you have your big guns, something like modafinil. And that would give you a pretty good toolbox.
Okay. This is incredible, man.
Yeah.
I have two more questions for you because I know we're just about out of time. One is more health related as it pertains to pastors, and the other one is just personal.
Okay.
On the health front, a lot of my friends that are pastors, we don't always take the best care of ourselves. Pastors don't. I think that's kind of a lot of people anticipate that. They see that. A lot of pastors are overweight. They're unhealthy.
Too much marshmallow salad at the church potluck.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah. We're very sedentary. I mean, we sit around. The only time you see us active is like pulpit time.
I've seen you run like a half marathon on stage last time I was at Legacy.
Well, I mean, I try to get after it. I want to break the mold a little bit, and you're helping me to do that. Thank you, by the way.
Well, I go to a Reformed Baptist church where nobody's wandering too far away from the podium.
That's right, because they're standing right there.
Right.
Which
in a suit and tie.
Are we allowed to talk about that church? Okay. I love that church, by the way. Pastor Douglas Wilson.
Christ Church, Moscow, Idaho. Christ Church. That's the church I grew up in. Yeah.
You literally grew up there.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I'm so afraid that one day he's going to intercept a teaching of mine and then just roast me. This guy's way off,
No, Doug's super cool.
But I love his books.
Hyper intellectual.
He's He's a hero to me. You're a health hero to me. He's a theological hero to me. So like one of the things that I hear from a lot of pastors, and this is actually what a doctor told me, you have extreme adrenal fatigue. This is constant among my pastor friends. That's what they tell us all. Oh, adrenal fatigue, adrenal fatigue.
Which technically isn't even a medical term.
So, I don't even know why they say that or what that even means. But usually they're like, well, how much coffee do you have? You have way too much coffee, because that's what pastors drink constantly.
Yeah.
And you're emotionally depleted and exasperated and you need some help. And so this doesn't have to be long, but like, is there some kind of quick, dirty tip of like, if you are concerned for your adrenal glands, how can we be more kind to ourselves in that sense?
Three things. First, adrenal fatigue is often overdiagnosed. And in order to truly know whether someone's adrenal glands are functioning the wrong way, you have to get a test that shows you not only what kind of hormones you're producing, cortisol, testosterone, a lot of the things that the adrenal glands would help you to produce or be directly responsible for producing, but you also have to look at how quickly are those metabolites being broken down? Are the building blocks for those metabolites necessary or available in the human body? The only test I'm aware of that's a decent test to truly diagnose something like adrenal fatigue is called a Dutch panel. It's a dried urine panel. It collects 24 hours of urine and gives you everything you need to know. And a lot of times, I will run that test on someone who has been diagnosed with adrenal fatigue, and it turns out that, for example, they're producing as much cortisol as they'd ever need, right? Which is the definition of adrenal fatigue. Like, you're not producing any cortisol.
Interesting.
But for example, that cortisol is getting broken down extremely quickly, right? So there's some upstream issue happening, and a lot of times that might be everything from inadequate calorie intake to sometimes it can be excessive caffeination. So basically it requires a lot of digging. So if you're diagnosed with adrenal fatigue, know that a lot of times it might not be that. It can be everything from hypothyroidism to carbohydrate depletion to neurotransmitter imbalances. So whenever somebody says that, I'm like, adrenal fatigue from what? Right. And there could be like 10 different reasons. I have an article on my website somewhere about like the 10 different reasons for adrenal fatigue.
Okay.
So it's more than just adrenal fatigue. The second thing is that there are certain things that can accelerate or amplify the amount of stress that's on the adrenal glands, these little glands that sit on top of your kidneys.
Okay.
And it is true that over-caffeination, excessive use of supplements, excess exposure to artificial light in the evening, inadequate sleep, poor stress management, poor relationships, et cetera, those can all accelerate the rate at which the adrenal glands become, you know, exhausted.
Okay.
We talked about some things earlier, heat, cold, breath work. I would throw exercise into this category.
Okay. So pastors should play pickleball.
Pastors should play pickleball.
That's a big thing amongst pastors now.
Icy cold, wearing as little clothing as possible.
And, put food in your underwear.
Doing breath work prior and getting in a sauna afterwards. Anyways, though, the idea of figuring out things that give you energy other than stimulants, which might seem kind of paradoxical based on the discussion that we just had.
Sure.
But knowing when it's true fatigue and you really need a cup of coffee versus, yo, I already had a cup of coffee 2 hours ago. All that caffeine is still in my system. I need to take a cold shower, do 3 minutes of Wim Hof breath work, and that's going to be way friendlier to my adrenal glands than all these drugs and caffeine compounds, et cetera. So that's number two. Number three is there are certain things that the adrenal gland needs to keep its gas tank topped off. The main two would be minerals and vitamin C.
Okay.
Minerals and vitamin C. A third one I would throw into the category of something that can assist with adrenal gland balance are so-called adaptogens.
Okay.
Okay, so let me tell you how this would look. Minerals and vitamin C would be like, wake up in the morning, giant mason glass full of water with a teaspoon of sea salt and the squeeze of a lemon.
Got it.
Or there's a company called Jigsaw Health. They make something called Adrenal Cocktail. I'm lazy with the lemons and the salt. So I put a powder, like a scoop of the adrenal cocktail in my morning glass of water.
Got it.
Okay. And that's in addition to salting my food throughout the day, eating a diet that's got fruits and vegetables rich in vitamin C. The more stressed out you are, the more minerals you need, the more vitamin C you need. So that's really good for the adrenals. The other one, the adaptogens, those would be probably the two best that I'm aware of that seem to work for a wide variety of people are reishi mushroom extract, and another one you've probably heard of, ashwagandha.
Yeah.
So these can be used during times of the day when you feel like you have a lot of stress, when you're too jittery, when you're too driven, maybe you had too much coffee, whatever.
Okay.
The definition of adaptogen is it will turn up the dials when the dials are too far down, and it'll turn down the dials when the dials are too far up.
Helps
so different
balance.
People will respond in different ways. But anybody who has adrenal issues or is hard driven. So for me, for example, I do like to take an afternoon siesta sometimes after lunch.
Yes.
Often not because I need it, but because I know by the time we start our family dinner at 7:30, I'd be kind of tired if I just don't step out for like 20 or 30 minutes and meditate or, you know, crawl in the corner of the office and, you know, crawl on my desk and sleep. Like I'll just sleep anywhere.
This is like NSDR. Is that what they call it?
NSDR. That's one way to do it. Yeah. Yoga Nidra, that's called. And that's very simple to do. Full body scan, starting from the toes up to the head or the head down to the toes. That'll simulate a full sleep cycle. And you can download free Yoga Nidra tracks on Amazon or on YouTube. And that can actually be very effective for simulating a full sleep cycle in anywhere from 10 to 30 minutes. I'll do yoga nidra on the airplane sometimes.
Okay. That's
some good noise blocking headphones.
Wow.
And it works fantastically. And that's sometimes what I'll do when I step away in the afternoon after lunch. But I always take a couple of packets of, I say packets because I use a company called Four Sigmatic, and they make reishi mushroom extract. I'll take a couple of packets of those. And then that kind of like turns off my brain and settles me down, but doesn't leave me as groggy as if I'd ever taken a bunch of, I don't know, like, you know, sleep product or CBD or something like that.
Yeah.
And so then I can get up and be ready to rumble again. So any hard charging high achiever, identifying some kind of adaptogen that you can use, usually like in the late afternoon to early evening, can also help out with adrenal stress.
Okay.
So in summary, if you really think you have adrenal fatigue, get a Dutch urine test to actually see if you truly have adrenal fatigue.
Okay.
If you want to make sure you take good care of your adrenals, start off the day with a whole bunch of minerals and vitamin C and continue to get minerals and vitamin C going in throughout the day. When you feel tempted to take a stimulant, double check yourself and ask if you should instead just like eat the frog, do the hard thing, get in the corner, sit down, do 3 minutes of breath work or slip away and take a cold shower or do some jumping jacks or burpees or something other than a stimulant that will drain your adrenal glands more quickly than natural energy from movement or cold. And then finally, the use of adaptogens when you do feel like you're excessively stressed can be useful.
Okay.
So those are a few things to consider for
that. That's super helpful. I guess I'm gonna sneak this one in. How much coffee is too much coffee?
Well, it depends on your genetics.
Okay.
You've probably heard some people like slow metabolizers. Pastors
just drink coffee all day, bro.
Yeah. And you can obviously build up tolerance to it also. I always switch to decaf for 1 week out of every month to check myself because I love the flavor of coffee. I like the glorious morning bowel movement that it gives you.
Oh, man, it's the best.
But I do want to make sure I'm not getting attached to anything. So I switch to decaf for a week out of every month, which kind of resets all the caffeine receptors.
I love that.
For like a slow caffeine metabolizer, it's not much. It's like 200, 300 milligrams of coffee. It's like a couple cups of coffee is too much for that person.
Wow.
It's just like in your system all the time. You don't sleep well because you take so long to break it down. Fast caffeine metabolizer, I mean, I've seen data on up to 5 cups a day as allowing you to get like the anti-diabetic, cardiovascular enhancing health effects of coffee without it being deleterious.
Okay.
I'm a fan of like a 2-ish cup a day guy, like a big morning cup and a big like afternoon cup. I think that's pretty good.
That's
a fast caffeine metabolizer. I know I can have a cup of coffee at 3. I still sleep okay.
Same.
I think 2 cups of coffee is a decent thing
Got
to shoot for.
Got it.
Especially if you're taking all the drugs we talked about.
Of course.
That nicotine toothpick hanging out your mouth.
We're going to have pastors, man, typing sermons, nicotine toothpick.
Preaching the sermon, nicotine toothpick in my dream.
Hitting their French press. Okay.
Speaking of coffee, I got my last drop.
Do you want some more, bro?
No, I'm good.
Okay. This is my last question. So since I have been listening to your podcast, reading your books, following you on YouTube, you know, I subscribe to you on everything. I've noticed just the uptick in you talking about your faith. And I'm wondering, how has your audience responded to that? Have you had people meet that with some level of, you know, resistance? Are they upset with you for talking about your faith now? I think the first time I DM'd you, you were doing a 1-year Bible.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I thought Ben was a Christian. He just presents so much information in a way that I thought he would know Jesus.
Yeah.
So what's that been like for you?
Yeah. I mean, I was born into a Christian home, grew up worshiping, going to Sunday school, loved the Lord and memorized scripture and was a, by all definitions, a pretty good kid, a pretty good, good little straight-laced Christian kid. I was homeschooled.
Okay.
I graduated high school when I was 15, started college when I was 16. I think I was a little bit immature spiritually and succumbed to a lot of temptations in college. And so from the age of about, gosh, like 16 till I got married when I was 21,
okay,
I kind of went off the deep end with like alcohol, women, things like that.
Yeah.
After I got married, really didn't have that great of a walk with the Lord for a good 10 years.
Okay.
And it was rough. Like my wife and I would fight a lot and I was traveling over the world and wasn't a present father and wasn't a great husband. And it took nearly breaking up with my wife.
Wow.
That caused me to see the light because I love my family so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I love my wife so much, mm-hmm. and I have such a vision of legacy for my sons and have such a deep desire for them to grow up to be godly young men. And, you know, I was just almost like a loser of a husband. And so I wound up when I realized I was about to lose my family. My wife was about to divorce me. I wasn't a present father. I didn't have any of the spiritual disciplines like meditation, prayer, reading scripture, devotions woven into my life. I went to church once a month, maybe. My wife went to church every week and I would sometimes go and sometimes not.
Wow. Wow.
I really became convicted at about, I've been about like 31, 32 years old that not only, well, what I realized initially was I needed to start putting my spiritual armor on and that for me to be the father and the husband who I knew that I should be and that God has called me to be.
Yes.
I needed to begin to spend a lot more time on my spiritual health.
Mm.
I didn't have any idea that that would eventually become a process of me beginning to talk about those same things to my audience.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
emptiness in fitness and in biohacking and in health and nutrition. And yes, physical training is of some benefit, but it's a complete attachment and addiction for a large portion of my audience, for example, this whole biohacking health world. I began to talk about my own journey on my own platform, on my podcast, on my blog. I began to publish books like Fit Soul or Endure or the Spiritual Disciplines Journal. That's what I started doing with my family. In the morning, we'd meditate. In the evening, we'd meditate and do devotions together and scripture study together. We still do that in the morning and evening every single day. It's our coming together as a family. And I just began to share what I was doing with my audience. And frankly, it was very well received.
That's awesome.
There are so many Christians in the fitness world who hide their light under a bushel because it's just not cool to be like, you know, the trainer who talks about God, but maybe who also has like a nice body you know, cause it's too earthly or fleshly or worldly. Mm. But there are a ton of trainers who started to talk with their clients about their Christianity. A bunch of people who came out of the woodwork who, because they'd seen me, you know, the guy who was supposed to be like the cool worldly Instagram dude or whatever, begin to talk about my faith. They were inspired to share their own faith.
Amazing.
I'm now putting out two videos a week of, you know, spiritual lessons or inspirational videos. I saw a few comments on one this morning and I get flack. Like a couple comments I saw this morning, one because my post today was about how God will sometimes refine us with fire and trial and tribulation.
Yes.
And the best response when we're going through those type of trials is to, as Job said, thank the Lord, thank him for his blessings. Thank you for whatever he's working in your life and respond to tribulation with gratitude. And I saw two comments like, you worship a God who punishes you because he loves you. That's a pretty effed up God, in my opinion. And then another person wrote, she, you mean she. When you're talking about God, you mean she, right? And so you get little comments like that.
Course.
But frankly, I really haven't experienced much of a blowback. I don't know, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I'm, maybe I'm being too flavorless. I don't know.
No.
But no, it's been very, very rewarding to be able to feel as though the platform that God gave me in the fitness and the health and the biohacking world,
which
is a very earthly, worldly, fleshly world, is now the same platform that he's given me the ability to be able to turn around and speak to and tell people that, yes, caring for your temple is good. Yes, as a pastor, optimizing your brain, your creativity and focus is going to allow you to reach more people and do yes. more and accomplish more and yes. write more and produce more. But at the end of the day, all of this stuff is for naught unless we care for our spirit, for our soul, unless we actually are focused yeah. on the eternal things that will happen far beyond this life. And unless ultimately at the end of the day, we're loving our God and
yes.
loving our neighbor as ourselves. And it's just been so incredibly rewarding and so fulfilling. And I know that one of the reasons God gave me this platform is to now turn around and operate almost like behind enemy lines,
yeah.
speaking to people who I'm not going to run into at church mm-hmm. or Sunday school mm-hmm. or prayer room or whatever. Like mm-hmm. these are people who are living in the gyms and
yep.
you know, triathlon start lines, you know, and folks who need to hear this message, I think. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Well, bro, thank you for doing it. Thank you for your courage, your bravery, speaking
Thanks.
Out, speaking up, sharing the Bible. I know it's inspired me. Like I said, you're one of my heroes. And so for me now, knowing that we share faith together and we can talk about Jesus and the Bible, yeah. It just only yeah. makes me all the more happy. And I hope that I get the opportunity to introduce you to some of my friends who might follow me and listen to yeah. this podcast.
It's a real joy. Absolutely love that. I mean, like, and one of the things that I'm trying to do now is, I think the way I phrased it to you once in a text message was, you know, you guys go out and be Moses, and I just want to be able to hold up your staff and give you the endurance and, you know, whatever else you need that's up inside my head to be able to help that happen. And
it's beautiful, man.
The more I can do that, the more I feel like
Thank
that's,
you, bro.
That's my calling.
So, thank you. Yeah. And I want to say reciprocating, I'm here for you, man. I want to yeah. pray for you as you step out into those dark places and yeah. say, Ben, we got your back. We're praying for you. We'll prophesy to you. We'll cover you. We'll be a blessing to you. And we'll put together a whole prayer team for you, man.
Yeah.
We got your back, bro. Thanks for coming on my podcast.
Awesome.
It's just brand new. So I appreciate you spending some time with me, bro.
Sweet. I appreciate you, man. Thanks.
Thank you, bro.
More than ever these days, people like you and me need a fresh, entertaining, well-informed, and often outside-the-box approach to discovering the health and happiness and hope that we all crave. So I hope I've been able to do that for you on this episode today. And if you liked it, or if you love what I'm up to, then please leave me a review on your preferred podcast listening channel, wherever that might be, and just find the Ben Greenfield Life episode. Say something nice. Thanks so much. It means a lot.